The following podcast is an Embassy Row production.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Giving It Up for Less, a podcast about oversharing. As always, I am your host, Lauren Ash. How's it going, everybody? Hope you're well. Hope everybody's staying safe. Very excited about today's episode. I put out a message on Twitter when I first started my podcast, and I was asking, you know, who should I have on the podcast? And so many people wrote to me and said, this lady. And so we've been trying to make it work, and now we've scheduled it, and I'm so excited that she's here. You know her from Big Brother 19. She also has an amazing, hilarious podcast, Miscellaneous. It's Elena Davies.
I'm sweating so much.
Oh my God, you're so sweet. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for acknowledging me as a human and inviting me on your podcast. When I got your Twitter message, I physically cried real tears, and I cried them on Instagram. I like went straight to Instagram and sobbed. And I lost a lot of followers. But that's not important to me. You are.
Oh, my God. You're the greatest. Now, yeah, so for context for people listening, I guess the reason why people were reaching out to me is that you have tweeted that you're a big fan of Superstore.
Countlessly. I take to every platform, and I talk mostly about myself because of who I am as a person and because I'm a Leo. And then second, it's Superstore, and then, like, specifically you.
Oh my God, that's so sweet. This is such a joy. Well, I'm so excited that we've connected.
Oh, it's the understatement of the year is me being excited that we've connected.
I love it.
I will say I'm disappointed though, because we have been planning this to be in real life for a while, but we're states away because I refused to leave Texas. And now we're like forced in our homes, and it's like kind of the perfect opportunity for us to podcast via Zoom. But I'm like, well, I don't get to touch you. And that's very, very disheartening to me. It's defeating, and it gives me very little hope for the future. But I'm finding joy in these moments, and I'm literally having a conversation with you right now, and it's like, I'm shaking.
Oh my God. You're so sweet. Well, listen, I told you when you agreed to do it on Zoom, we will reconvene in person when we're allowed to leave our homes again.
Right?
That's my guarantee.
Ideally, I would love to do a podcast swap. Would love to have you on my podcast.
Yeah.
As well. When you asked me if we could Zoom, I was like, yes, but please be aware that I will force myself into your life in a tangible, physical way at some point. And if you're not open to that, then no, I won't be on your podcast via Zoom. I will wait.
I love it. And listen, you know what I like about it is I respect the honesty, I respect the tenacity, and those are two things that I also possess, not only as a character on television, but me in my real life. So I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
This is seriously so fun already. I love it so much. You know what it is for me is I love enthusiasm. Like my big thing in life is, and I think it's why for anybody who's done improv, like the number one rule is always say yes. But I'm somebody who it's like, I just love people who like jump into things. They're excited. They say yes. I mean, those are my favorite kind of people. So I feel like this friendship is already beginning.
Oh, you're going to be obsessed with me.
Well, listen, here's the truth. People kept writing to me. Now, granted, I haven't watched any Big Brother, which is shocking because it's very in my wheelhouse of viewing. But when people were messaging me about you, I was like, well, I'm going to do a little dive on the phone, a little Instagram. And there was so much stuff on your Instagram that was so funny. And then I listened to some of your podcasts and I was like, oh, this girl is like totally like my kind of gal. She's super funny. And that's when I was like, yeah, we got to make this happen. You did this one photo that I thought was so funny. It was like a series of photos. I don't even know if it's up there anymore or not. And I also don't know how far back I scrolled, so don't judge me if this was like, I posted that 4 years ago, you psycho. But there was a photo and it was like you and a guy you were dating, and it was like 2017. And then the next one was like 2018, and you were sitting in the exact same spot. And then the third one was you alone. And I was like, that is such a like dark, self-deprecating, amazing joke, and I just thought it was so awesome that you like put it out there, because that's like very much my brand, for lack of a better term.
Same.
So I
think I relate to you because you're like equal parts self-deprecating but also so overly confident that it's like really intimidating, and I embody that fully. I'm like, I love everything about myself, but also I will be the first person to tear me down in like on a stage.
Totally. Totally. I think that that's like, that's the key, because also it's like, you know, it's self-deprecation is fun, but yeah, it has to be rooted in knowing how amazing you are. Otherwise it's just sad. I think that when right. it's, you know, when it's a mix, people can get on board with that because they know it's like, oh no, she doesn't really feel that about herself. She thinks she's amazing. Which
and
is
you're
true.
Pulling it off so well. Oh, when you're super confident, but like tearing yourself down, and then you're making somebody laugh, but then you're also, it's, there's gotta be some like real psychological thing behind all of it, but I think it's awesome. And so I just keep doing it. And then yeah. I find the people that also do it. And then I love them.
And yeah. And here we are. It's a match made in internet heaven.
I know. Thank God. Bless him. It. And the people said.
Now I had a question for you unrelated to the theme. What has it been like for you? Because for me, I have had such a like slow burn in terms of like people kind of knowing who I am. And it's like slowly it's kind of built over the course of my 30s as someone who's in her mid 30s now. But for you, you went on TV in your 20s and it was like, boom, like you were there. You were in the public eye. What was that like for you?
Yeah, it's weird. I actually started in entertainment before I was on Big Brother, but in definitely in a different world. I was yeah. on a really big morning show, a radio show that oh. was based out of DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, which is where I'm from, but it was syndicated in, or still is, in 80 plus markets. So I had like an ounce of attention and would get stopped and recognized, and people kind of knew who I was, but in the grand scheme of things, it was so not, I wasn't right. ready, you know, because yeah. on Big Brother, it's really an anomaly of a TV show, of a reality TV show, in the sense that as it's airing, you're doing it. It's literally airing live, not like Bachelor or other shows where you film and then you watch it back yourself. So I'm get off this show and then instantly, you know, people know who I am and are very invested in my life and have been watching me eat and like poop and talk about really personal things. And it's strange. And I don't know that I've adjusted fully yet, but I love attention. So it's fine.
Yeah. I get that. I get that. I think that you have to in order to do one of those things. But yeah, I was wondering about that because it is interesting that people are following you in real time. There's no kind of like, there's no bridge where, you know, the people on The Bachelor, they have like 6 months where they date in private or whatever until the show comes out. Like with you, it's like moment to moment and then it's there.
Yeah. And then Big Brother's weird too, because you can watch us live, right. literally no editing. So the when I say Big Brother happens in real time, it's the episodes are edited so quickly that the next day, something that happened could be on CBS. And during that time, hundreds of thousands of people are tuning into the stream and watching you. And then there's another channel where non-edited footage is just going straight to the TV from 9 to 12 every single night. So people get really invested in us. And I didn't know. I was like, yeah, it's just a reality TV show. Like I might get like 20,000 followers and people know who I am for like 6 months. That's not what happened. And I also didn't win. So I had it all wrong.
You're like, this is not what I signed up for. Okay. I came here to win. I came here to be, yeah, that's so funny. Wow.
Yeah. I wanted $500,000 and instead I got a boyfriend who ended up dumping me. So I'm like, y'all, something's fucked up.
Yeah. That's bullshit. That's bullshit. That is not what you signed
I'm
up
mad.
For at all. Wow. Well, that's so cool. What an interesting journey to go from. Because I feel like radio, there is a lot of like diehard people, like diehard fans of radio. It's amazing. Like people are really, like you're saying, like if you have a show that's syndicated, you are like, you know, when I think of famous radio personalities, of course I think of like Casey Kasem, which proves that I'm elderly. but it's interesting because anytime I've been doing kind of like the big radio shows, it's stunning to me that I get so much love on social media that it's like, wow. I heard you on this show. And it's like really kind of diehard fans. And I'm sure that that must be a similarity to the Big Brother fans, because I'm feeling like they're also like very, very deeply invested.
I mean, I think it goes down to the basics of just everybody wants to escape from reality and find something that they can relate to, but also something that pulls them away. Mm. And it with a radio show, it's so consistent. It's every morning you drive to work with these people, they become your friends and they talk about their life and they talk about stuff happening in the world. They're your news, they're your laughter. They kind of fill a bunch of voids. And I don't think people's fully aware of how that impacts him. I wasn't. I mean, that's how I got on the show I was on, because I was a fan of it. And the host of the show thought I was funny on Twitter, because I literally was just, I realized after years and years of listening, I actually went through a bad breakup, and I was like, man, this show's kind of the only thing making me laugh every day. And I just got so invested, and I would tweet about it constantly, that I think Twitter is like my manifestation. That's how I got you too. I just tweeted so much at everything, Instagram, so much how I love Superstore and how I loved you specifically. But yeah, the host like saw something in me and started kind of bringing me in a little bit, and it's completely changed my life. I would have never even gone on Big Brother had that not happened. There's so many like really detailed tiny moments that were so pivotal in getting me to where I am now. But yeah, it's people love to feel like they connect somewhere and they can relate somewhere, and radio does it really well. Podcasts do it. I think Superstore does it better than anyone, but that's just me.
Yeah. No, I agree. And it's interesting too, because I've met, you know, people who are famous, you know, big, big movie stars, for lack of a better term. And they don't, it's funny because it's like, you know, these massive celebrities, but they don't really get, I've seen like people not really get stopped on the streets, but TV people, people that come into your house, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like people who, radio, podcasts, yes. television, people
it's so
really,
different.
It's so different. And people feel like they know you because you come to them. You're in their house. So I found that, I've always found that really interesting when I've been out with my like, you know, handful of the like, I call them like the real ones, like the real celebrities. And nobody talks to them, but then somebody's like grabbing my arm from behind, like walking down the street.
Yeah, I was on a flight one time with a mega, mega, mega super famous person. And I got stopped 20 times. No one spoke to her. And I'm sitting back there like watching it all go down. And I'm like, get away from me. I'm trying to get a picture with her. Not really, but it is,
yeah.
In that moment is when I realized it. It's not that I'm more famous than her. It's I'm more relatable than her. I'm more attainable to speak to than her. I'm less scary to approach than her. And
right.
Yeah, people feel connected to me because they watch me every day for 3 months.
Yeah. And they feel like they know you. It's like they've had a relationship with you. You just didn't know you were in the relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that, to be fair, that's happened to me so many other times with dudes. So I'm like, I get that, you know, like I am dating so many guys that have no idea about it.
Right. I love it. I love it. Well, listen, I feel like that segues very beautifully into the theme, which I chose,
wow,
which
I
is
a pro.
Yeah, exactly. Not your first rodeo here. Wow. This is already a match made in heaven. I love it. The theme I brought to you was crushing crushes. So, you know, those heartbreaking crushes that don't work out or do work out or whatever. And I was trying to think, because I have just so many that I could draw from. And there was two stories that I feel like were the most come the most to mind. The one was I was in my early 20s, and there was a guy I had this huge crush on, and I wanted to hang out with him, but I didn't want to like be obvious. And I was trying kind of shy about it for some reason. And this is before I had, you know, fully embraced the true amazingness that is me. And so I had this great idea where I was like, we had a bunch of mutual friends. So I was like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send a group email to like 10 people, you know, and he'll be one of them. But then I'll go in and I'll change each of the other people's email addresses by one letter so that if he glances at it.
Genius, first of all.
Right? If he glances at it, his brain isn't going to see that each one of them is spelled incorrectly because it's off only by one letter. But also then the email only goes to him. So he's the only person that gets the invite. I mean, this is a level.
So strategic and like manipulative. I honestly did not realize I had the capacity to love you more, but here we are.
Listen, I mean, I don't even know what overcame me. Again, I was like 20, I think, at this point. But anyway, long story short, it worked. And so the bit became, you know, I go and I'm like, oh, you're the only person who responded. I guess nobody else is coming to this show. So we were going to this live comedy show because I was starting out in like the improv and sketch world. And yeah. we go to this live show. And as we walk in, I see people that were on the email chain at the show. And I was like, we have to avoid these people. But how can we? Because we were the whole reason I knew this guy is that we were in a class together. So these were improv nerds who had just started out. Like everybody's super excited and enthusiastic. And so I was trying to steer him kind of like away from them because, of course, my cover would be completely blown if he talked to them at all. And I was like, hey, I thought you guys weren't coming. Nightmare. Anyway, what ended up happening is he ended up seeing two girls who later became very good friends of mine, but they were kind of like more advanced in the comedy world. And he was like, oh, we should really try and sit beside Sarah and Jan because they're kind of like, you know, they're the ones that we kind of strive to be. And I was like, this is a nightmare. So we went and sat with Sarah and Jan. He talked to them the whole night, completely ignored me. Complete disaster. Now, the follow-up to this whole story is that I later found out that he was gay and I didn't have a chance anyway. So that in a nutshell, for me, really, it made sense, you know? One of my most crushing crushes, I will say.
That's really beautiful.
Thank you so much. We actually went on to be very, he and I actually went on to be very, very good friends, and we like wrote comedy together for a while and stuff like that. I adore him. I don't even know if I've ever told him.
Did he know that you were just trying to get on in there?
I don't know that he knows. I don't know that he even knows this. I don't think I've ever told him this story, which will be amazing if he listens to this.
I was about to say, I can't wait to find out who he is because I'm a certified creep and I will. And then just slyly send him this episode. Hey, bro, I want to check this out.
You're just going to metaphorically meet him in a dark alley in a trench coat and hand him an envelope, a big manila envelope.
That's exactly. I was going to be nude under the trench coat, too.
Well, listen, then you could just...
I don't know why, but that felt important.
It really, you know what? It does, because it proves to us that you're a sexy PI. You know what I mean?
The new and improved Veronica Mars. Here I am.
Yeah.
She's naked and she fights crime.
That's a show that I would watch.
Okay. How do we get this off the ground?
All right. Listen, anybody who's all the producers that are listening, just call us. We know, you know where we are. You know how
we could be. I know you have a little bit going. I'm sorry, but I have to. Dina and Amy have a bit going, and y'all are like, you're a little Rizzoli, and I mean, I see the hints on Instagram, but I'm willing to fill that void when she leaves, and then we can kind of spin off, have our own show. We can be like nude detectives solving crime. I think it could go somewhere.
I don't think it could go somewhere. I know it could go somewhere, and we're going to have to just start drawing up a treatment. I think that's it.
Man, I finally have hope for the future. And that's really important right now because these are dark times, man. You know?
They're so dark.
So dark that I ended up texting an ex today.
No.
You know? And why?
I know.
Because I'm bored.
Listen, at the best of times, connection. I feel like we all crave connection. And that's someone that, you know, obviously you had a large connection with at some point. So I think that makes sense.
Yeah, I know. So... I haven't dated a ton. So as far as crushing crushes go, I feel like the most important thing to do is turn off the sound for my email and then tell you about my crushes.
Sure.
So I've had two boyfriends, and both of them, I feel like both of what happened could end up in a Lifetime movie. So my Whoa. First, my like the it's just terrible, and it could, you know, people love to watch people sad. So I'm, again, ready to be a star. My first ex was a high school sweetheart vibe. It was like an on and off again thing in high school. And we went to Christian school, so it was very strict. And then we finally get it right and get serious later on. And I'm like, I'm marrying this guy. I've literally already bought two Toyotas in my head, like a sensible home. I'm wearing Rothy's every day to my corporate job. I have one toddler, another on the way. Like, I have planned it out, you know? And then he dumps me, marries my best friend.
Oh, no!
And, you know, in order to keep the story short, I had to skip over so many terrible details. But ultimately, yeah, they announced they're pregnant last week. And this happened so many years ago. And I still am like, huh? That happened.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's bad. That's bad.
So I get on this morning show. That was the breakup that Kid Craddock himself got me through. I get this beautiful thing happened to me. I get on this huge morning show that I'm like such a fan of. I'm like, this is it. I have peaked. It's all downhill from here. And I kind of was okay with it at the time. Get on Big Brother. And then I meet Mark. And I was like, it makes sense. It's the whole hindsight is 2020 thing. It's like, all of that had to happen to get me to you. You are my man.
Yes.
You love me. You pursue me. You cried about me on national television. What more could you ask for?
That's all I've ever wanted. Cry.
It was my fault, but still, the sentiment itself is beautiful. And he cheats on me right before Valentine's Day. And then we go on another dating show. He eliminates me immediately. It was like a show about exes. He eliminates me the first night. And then ends up sleeping with Aubrey O'Day on television. I had to watch it all back. And it was the most soul-crushing, terrible thing that has happened to me. Again, skipping so many details.
Totally.
But I find out on Valentine's Day, slept with another girl the night before from Tinder. I'm like, you could not even respect me enough to find a girl to have sex with from Bumble or Hinge. Like, you had to go down to the lowest of the lows, scrape the bottom of the barrel. I'm like, I'm pretty sure, like, they hooked up with her toddler in the room. It couldn't be more humiliating to me. And then, of course, I'm on Instagram and a reality TV star. So, and I use the word star pretty loosely. But when you meet your boyfriend on a show, people are all in. All in. And so, yeah, the most humiliating thing, thinking we kind of get back together before we film this other show. And I'm like, this is it. We're going to get through it. Love is bigger. We kind of made like an agreement before the show. Like, don't hook up with somebody else. I won't, like, you know, we'll just be together on the show so we don't have to deal with the pain. Yeah.
Right.
Guys, reality TV is real. We planned this stuff right before. And no, my plan did not work. Gone immediately, and then is just inside of another. I don't even want to use the word human being because I don't think that she is one, but terrible. And then we've stayed in a toxic relationship for a year after, ever since. And he broke up with me again this year on Valentine's Day. Ba-dum-tsh.
On Valentine's Day?
How do you get dumped on Valentine's Day by the same guy 2 years in a row? And then, like, who runs this joint up here in my head that is like, yes, for sure. This guy, things are working. It's going to be fine. Y'all are going to live happily ever after. Like, that expired.
You know what, though? This is why I think we are kindred spirits, because I completely understand the power of being on a journey where, you know, you're going through heartache and pain, and then it brings you to someone and you go, oh my gosh, this is the reason why I went through all that pain. And it elevates the person kind of subconsciously.
Yeah.
So automatically this person becomes like, this is what I've been waiting for. This is what I went through all of that stuff to do. I've had a similar situation. But then it's because they're elevated to that level, and because I think the impression I'm getting from you, like me, is you want to see the good in someone. You want to believe in the good in people, and you
yeah.
have that connection. That mixed with them being kind of on this elevated, you know, I don't want to use the word pedestal, but you know what
but
I'm saying?
But kind of it was.
Yeah. It's very difficult to disentangle yourself from that. Been there.
Through Big Brother together, which looks so fun and cool on TV, and I promise it's because it is, but there's also that's a really big, that's 101 days of being trapped inside of a house with the same people and being kind of tortured in a legal way.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can describe it. So you form this like really deep-seated kind of connection to someone, and you then depend on them afterwards to get through some of the psychological damage and just like the overwhelmingness of what your life has turned into. And I, again, thought, I was like, this is my husband. And then now the funny part about all of it is that people are like, don't worry, one day you'll look back and all of this will make sense. Everything happens for a reason. Elena, it'll be fine. And I'm like, yeah, except for last time I thought that, this is the guy I was dating. And look how it turned out. So you're telling me in like, I don't know, 5 to 10 years when I finally like, you know, heal from this terrible heartache, I'm going to meet another guy and think he's the one. And then he's going to crush my soul too. Is this life?
I mean, listen, I've got some years on you, and I don't want to say that the answer to that is yes, but it doesn't have to be. But here's the deal. You're already ahead of the game because you have that self-awareness, and you're coming into this going, you know, I don't want to set myself up into that situation again. I will say that, you know, you know, texting an ex, doing those things, you got to give yourself a bit of a break because, currently we're also, the world is burning. So that's, you know, another addition to the whole thing. But it's very difficult. And what you're describing, especially too, like, you know, having those kinds of like intense connections with people, that's not something that the average gal who's, you know, a bank teller and spends her time playing roller derby, like, she's not necessarily going to have that kind of, you know. So I think it's very easy for people who have a more simpler experience in relationships. Mm-hmm. I think it's very easy for them to be like, oh, it all happens for a reason. I can tell you this.
Yeah.
I've been around the block so many times. I've had my, you know, we'll talk when we're not public. And
oh my God,
I can look back and go, Yeah, okay, I see how things kind of had to go the way they had to go, but it doesn't mean that I am glad that I went through those times.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I'm not happy that I went through a toxic relationship that was damaging to me. Like, yeah, okay, I guess it had to happen, but I don't look back on it fondly. You know what I mean? Like,
and
so
I hate
what?
People that oversimplify things, like the way you were saying, like, that because their experiences have been completely different, it's so easy for them to take away the weight of what you feel during a time that even knowing there's hope in the future doesn't actually take away any of your heartache, which is the funny part about it.
And I agree with you that it sometimes can cause more anxiety. Like you're saying, it's like, oh, this all happens for a reason and it'll all make sense later. And like, well, that doesn't feel very, like, there's nothing to me, there's nothing reassuring about that in the moment. And on the other side of it, I'm like, again, like, if I could go back and do whatever I had to do to avoid those times, I would do it.
Yeah. And there's no, like, everybody that says like, oh, and likely I probably will get married and do all that stuff. It's a thing that pretty much everybody does. But there's actually no guarantee around that. I mean, I choose to believe that I'll find my man and he'll, like, you know, love me so, so much. And I'm setting the standards pretty high now. I have a lower tolerance for the bullshit, but no one can guarantee me that, but everyone wants to. They're like, oh, he is coming. I know it. He's right around the corner. And I'm like, you're just talking out your ass. You don't know shit.
Oh yeah. Because humans have this want to fix. Humans, because people think men want to fix. I think all humans, men or women, they want to fix. They want to, they're so uncomfortable that you feel sad or you feel like, you know, you're pessimistic, that they want to take that away from you. This is something that is a huge pet peeve of mine. I'm like, just let me feel how I feel. Like,
yes,
I feel some, you know?
Toxic positivity. It's a thing.
Yes.
I hate that shit.
Yes.
You're allowed to have a bad day if somebody is going through something worse. That's actually part of why I feel like I've had a failed relationship in the past is because some people can't realize that your feelings are valid if you're feeling them. Like, if they don't make sense to the other person, that all of a sudden they're not valid and they're not real and you don't have any kind of validation in feeling them. And yet I still do. And then I feel alone in a relationship, you know, or I feel bad for feeling bad because somebody else has it worse. I'm like, well,
yes,
fair, but also so is my feeling.
100%. And my whole thing is like perspective, where obviously we all know there are people in the world that are suffering through things that are awful, that we can't even wrap our minds around. But that doesn't change the fact that we are all living our own existences, and the feelings that I feel and the things that I go through in my existence are valid. It doesn't make them invalid. Quarantine brain is real. It doesn't make my feelings invalid because there's somebody whose experience is worse than mine. It's my experience and that's my reality. And I think it's dangerous to go, oh, I, you know what? There's somebody who has it worse than me. I can't feel this way. I can't think this way. Because when you're pushing those things away and not going through them, believe me, they're going to come back to you later. Because
right. And it's so much more damaging.
Yes.
Later on.
Absolutely. And listen,
so wise or what?
We're basically solving all of the world's problems, and I think we're therapists.
We're therapists and nude crime fighters?
Nude crime fighters, partially clothed therapists, I think, just for the legal
reasons. That feels more appropriate, and I like to kind of toe the line, but we should at least wear bras and panties for this.
We don't want the lawsuits, you know, it's a gray area.
Mm-hmm. Super gray.
The last thing I'll say on the matter, though, is this, because I love this. I would talk to you about this forever. I love this shit. Is that the thing that people say to me, like they're saying to you, they're like, he's out there. The thing that people are saying to me, because I had been through, I had dated a lot through my 20s and early 30s, is you're one step closer. with each one, you're getting one step closer. That guy wasn't perfect, but he had some better traits than the last one. And I'm like, that is the last thing I want to hear. I don't want to be one step closer. I don't want a date. I just want my person to sit in my pajamas and watch Netflix with, which I have now. But it's, again, like, if I could have had him now and not gone through any of that, I would do that in a heartbeat. If I could, eternal sunshine of the spotless mind, my brain, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Man, I've never been like a dater, but I've finally gotten to the point in my life where exactly what you just said, I'm ready to just have my person, to be able to call them when I have something wonderful to say and call them and count on them when I have something terrible to say, and then just like share my life with them. And I've never craved that before. I've been fine being independent for the most part. And now I'm just, now I turned 30 this year and I am so sad. Where is my man?
Listen, let me tell you something. I, for a long time in my early 30s, I would say I'm completely fine being alone. Because in my mind, I was like, if I say that, then that means he'll come. Like, if I try and convince myself of it, then he'll come. And I'll tell you, it didn't work. But what happened for me was I actually got to the point legitimately last year where I was like, I actually am done. I can't date anymore. I had a string of ones that are like, dude who lied about being married while we were dating. And then,
oh, cool.
Yeah, real cool.
That guy sounds fun at parties.
Real cool. Like, I had a string of them, and I just literally was like, this isn't me saying, oh, I'm fine alone. I was like, I am truly going to be fine alone. I have an amazing life. I have an amazing job. I have amazing friends. I really did get to the point, and it's sad that I had to get it to that point. And then I met my boyfriend, which sounds like such a cliche. But I do feel like there is something in, like, I really had to get there. I had to get to the point where I was like, I want all those things. I believe I deserve all those things. And I believe those things will come to me. But if they don't, I don't give a shit because I cannot deal with another, you know, dude who's like, oh, sorry, kidding. I actually live with my wife, you know?
It really is true, the, like, cliche saying that it's better to be alone than to be, like, unhappy with someone and be in a toxic relationship. And I think that that is the pivot that's happening in my life as we speak, is coming into that realization and having my standards so high that, I mean, I haven't told anybody this. I haven't even announced this on my podcast yet, but I after this last breakup with my, you know, on and off again ex, I actually started, like, being interested in a guy. I went on a date. These are non-Elena behavior characteristics. Don't do them. Don't even think about them. And I did it. And I was like, wow, this guy's really great. We, like, had such a good connection. He thought I was funny, which is all I care about. And then he pulled some weird stuff, and old Elena would have been like, well, and given him excuses and, like, work. And I literally texted him. I was like, never talk to me again, because that's red flag. And then I've ignored them in the past, and look how it turned out for myself. So I'm done with the red flags. And I think once you kind of get to that point where you're saying you're, like, savage dating, that savage dating leads to real good, productive, healthy relationships. And once the world is back, once the world is uncanceled, I'm going to start really savage dating, and it's going to be terrible, but hopefully
you've hit the nail on the head. It took me until I was 36 to start doing that. So you're ahead of the game. You've hit the nail on the head. You're going to be fine.
It'll be fine.
That's exactly the mindset.
I can't wait to tell you everything about it.
That's exactly the mindset you got to have, though, where it's just like, I just can't, I don't have the time. If there's a red flag, goodbye. You just have to. Bye bye. I love it. I love it for you. I'm very excited. You're doing great. All right, we're going to move on to the next segment on the show. I always say it's my favorite, but they're all my favorite. It's Dumb Lies We Tell. So I have listeners send in dumb lies to dumblieswetell@gmail.com. I read one, we talk about it, and then maybe we tell dumb lies that we have. So this one, I try to pick one that kind of, like, connects to the theme if I can, and I thought that this one was pretty funny and connected to our theme. So this person writes, at a friend's 21st birthday party in a crowded bar in Boston, an older Persian man kept buying me drinks. Young and new to the bar scene, I didn't realize that being brought a drink by a man at a bar is no big deal and that you owe him nothing in return. But alas, I felt obligated to tell him my real name, chat with him all night, and ignore our 30-year age difference. The next day, I go to a local coffee shop to meet my now husband on our first date. Side note, I had already stood this guy up once and was already walking on thin ice. I love this. So then, in the coffee shop, who do I see walking in? My friend from the bar the night before. He starts screaming my name loudly. I refuse to look over. Finally, he walks over to confront me. I had no choice but to tell him he was calling my identical twin's name, and I had not been out at the bar the night before. It must have been my bitch sister. I also love that she's made up a twin that she thinks is a bitch. Anyway, wow. I'm not sure if he bought it, but he did back off. Mission successful. Thankfully, all this transpired minutes before my now husband arrived, as I think watching me lie about having an identical twin may have been the straw that broke the camel's back. Oh, well, I still got the guy. I mean,
that's great. It took so many turns.
I know. It's real. I just feel like I can relate to that. You know, there's always times when, you know, you get hit on somewhere and then it ends up turning into more than you want it to in terms of the attention. But I've never had that happen. The only time I had that happen was when I once gave a waiter my phone number. He never called me. And then 2 days later, I ran into him twice at a farmer's market, which felt like a real slap in the face, you know?
I would have felt like if I saw that man two more times, that's God telling me that I can't give up and I have to marry him. I'm like, maybe. It's a sign.
Yeah.
He's my man.
This is it. Well, what was amazing though, is I ran into him and I saw him and I was like, oh my God, that's him. And then he was with somebody that knew the person I was with. So they started chatting and he was like, hey, I'm Jeremy or whatever. And I was like, he doesn't remember me. And this was two nights ago.
That actually happened to me one time too. It's like a hockey player in Dallas. He like got my number and chatted with me like all night one night. And I was like, oh yeah. It was like early 20s. Elena's like, I'm gonna date an athlete. No, I'm not gonna date an athlete. He reintroduced himself to me the next weekend and got my number again. And I was like, so you didn't even save my number the first time. You have no idea who I am. Cool, cool, cool. Bye.
Bye.
Oh. I mean, I still slept with him, but you know what I mean.
You are only human. You're a hot-blooded woman.
I have to get it on sometimes, you know?
It's bigger than you. Come on. I love this dumb lie. It reminded me in no way, for some reason, this is a terrible segue because it's not even close to the lie that I thought of. But when I was in high school, I had a crush on this guy, and my high school was two levels and my locker was on the top floor, but all of my afternoon classes were on the bottom floor. And so I would take all my books, you know, so I didn't have to go back to my locker, you know, between classes. But I found out that the guy I had a crush on had a path in the afternoon where he would go upstairs. So I would bolt out of one of my classes, run up the other set of stairs, and then try and make it look like I wasn't panting as I would like coolly walk by him like, hey. But I set this up. I started doing this every day. And then I realized that I was like, I have to keep it going, because then he started to show interest in me. He started to even know that I was alive, lent me a CD. Who lends a CD?
What CD was it?
It was Survival of the Fattest, which was a Fat Records punk rock compilation album. And then I had to keep doing it anyway. So I was, I did this for months is the point, is that I was running around like a crazy woman, ended up drinking peach schnapps in his garage with him and some friends. And that's when I found out he had a girlfriend the whole time. So my two month plan, my long game plan. Dumb
at
lie.
Least you had so many extra steps in though, during that age, like that was probably really important to your health and.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. My heart health benefited. So maybe I should thank him.
Yeah, I would go ahead and probably reach out now and let him know that you're grateful.
I'm gonna find him.
It's not too late.
Find him. Yeah. What about you? Have you told dumb lies? Is that something?
Okay, I'm yes, and yikes, I really am an oversharer. So the entire theme of your podcast is hilarious, and the things that I have said publicly on my own podcast, on Instagram, on other very very way more famous than I's podcast, people's podcasts, it's honestly pretty shocking. And this one might be the worst. So it's
yes.
Because it was a big lie I told that ended up kind of snowballing into a smaller snowball, several small snowballs. And now right. It's just like the small lie I rely on. So when I was in high school, oh my God, I got out of the shower or something. I was like in a towel and I went into my bedroom, and I remember it like it was yesterday. And I'm standing there, I'm like about to get in my dresser and maybe get some clothes out or something, and I have to fart. Okay, so I do that, and unfortunately, instead of it being solely a fart, it was supplemented by some poop. So let me paint you a picture very clearly. I'm nude, standing in my carpeted bedroom in our brand new house.
Oh.
And I poop the floor. I don't even poop my own pants. I poop on the floor. Cool. So in God's perfect timing for my life, my mom walks right in, and we were very like open relationship. Me and my mom were extremely close. It was just her and I for the majority of my life. So she just waltzes right in my room, and I'm cleaning poop off my floor, and I blamed it on the dog. So that worked out well for me. And my mom still to this day does not not know, except for she absolutely is listening right now. Hi, Mom. So then in college, I'm with my first boyfriend. I've known him forever. We're like, just things are getting heated in our like beginning of our relationship. And very sober, Tuesday night, go to sleep in bed with my boyfriend. I am awoken in the night to my own urine. I have peed the bed. As a full grown adult, and this is not a drunken situation, I wasn't fucked up and fell asleep and pissed my pants. I am completely sober and I urinated myself, not a little bit, the entire bed. I had just gotten a dog I was fostering and she had peed the bed a few times. So we had just started like putting her back in her crate for bed and like trying to retrain, right? So my bitch ass is up out of that bed so fast. I'm grabbing Lily, I'm throwing her on the bed to try to convince my boyfriend that, again, the dog peed in the bed. When I started sobbing from embarrassment, I think he saw right through that. It has now turned into the dumb lie I tell is pretty much every time I fart, I blame it on my dog. My plan was to have kids young and early so that I could blame all my farts on them. And I just, that has yet to happen because both times I've convinced a man to love me, he's left me. So I'm still without child, but I had to keep a dog around because I'm like, clearly I cannot trust my bowel system or any kind of like Kegel control. There, I have none. I don't know why. And I have to have a dog or else somebody is going to find out that I pee and poop my pants. So that's been my whole intention behind having a dog. I now love her so much, of course. And it's pretty counterproductive that I'm announcing it to everyone because now the secret's out and they know what I've been up to for years. But that's me and that's the truth.
Oh my God. I am obsessed with you. You have to know this. It's true. It's yes. Listen, I have so many of those stories myself. Again, kindred spirits. Kindred spirits,
the girls
my friend.
That say they've never pooped their pants are all liars. I had a conversation with a friend the other day and like sharding came up and I was like, man, those will get you. And she's like, what? And I was like, bet you pooped your pants. You tell me right now.
I had a friend who told me that she never had. And I was like, okay, whatever. But then she called me one day and she's like, it happened. I was like, okay, see, you can't go through life. It's coming for you, okay? It's not
everyone. Is going to poop their pants.
Yes.
Throughout their, you're gonna do it. And not enough people are talking about it, honestly. So
I agree. You know, we need to start a ribbon campaign or like one of those like rubber bracelets.
Yeah.
Awareness, like bodily function awareness that it's
I think that's my mission now. Well, I mean, it's going to have to split my time between half nude therapy and completely nude PI work, but
you're putting a lot on your plate. Is all I'm going to say. I mean, I hope you're a multitasker.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's going to be busy. I'm excited to be busy after all of this, though. You know, I need some hobbies and projects in my life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, pants shitting awareness 2020. This is it.
That's my platform.
I actually told the most epic poop story on this podcast, but it was my birthday episode with my best friend. And we got so drunk that we talked for well over 90 minutes and they had to cut out a very large chunk of the podcast, of the rambling. And unfortunately, that story did get cut. So I'm going to have to save it for another day. But yeah, listen.
Is that day today?
We're running out of time already. So yeah. If I get into it now, then it's going to get cut again.
You should save it for my podcast.
Done. Done. You have my word.
I cannot wait.
It's a story actually that I have tried to get on talk shows. Every time I go on a talk show, I pitch this story and they're like, we don't want to tell a poop story. And I'm like, first of all, relatable, which is my brand. Second of all, everybody has done it. Third of all, it is just an epic story for the ages. But yes, absolutely. If you want it, you got it, baby.
I want it all. I want all the things that nobody talks about.
I know. I love that too. I love that too. All right, we got to move on because we are running out of time. It's our final segment, Never Let Go. Grudges that we have in our lives. They can be big, they can be small. I have a new one. Listen, so I traditionally don't cook. And since we've been in isolation, I've cooked every meal that's been eaten in this house since I think March 14th, which at this point is what? It's well over a month is the point. The other night, I know, it's been a lot. I've loved it. But anyway, it's just because normally I don't have time. Now it's like I can have a glass of wine. It's like an activity for me.
Yeah.
It's relaxing.
It's a full event.
Exactly. But the other night I was feeling a little bit lazy and tired. And I was like, you know what? I think we've earned it. Let's Postmates some pizza. Let's just, you know, let's give ourselves a little gift. Now, along the lines of what we've been talking about in terms of our gastrointestinal systems, I recently had a doctor tell me that I have to stop eating gluten. It's a nightmare.
Oh my gosh, hi, same.
Ah, we're the same person. I love it. So,
wow.
I know. Okay,
we've got recipes.
I was just going to say, we've got to talk about this further. But anyway, so we had ordered from Blaze Pizza, who do a cauliflower crust. And listen, is it real pizza? Of course it's not. Does it scratch the itch a little bit? Yeah. So I was very excited about this. The postman arrives. He hands my boyfriend three boxes. And I'm like, wait, we only ordered two pizzas. Like, what is this? And then I look at the ticket and it says the order is for Laura. Spoiler alert, my name is Lauren. So he had picked up the wrong order. And then I was like, oh, is this ours? And I went to open the box. He's like, don't open it. And I was like, is there a bomb? Anyway, and I was like, well, this isn't what we ordered. We ordered something else. He floors it. He's in his car. He floors it, flops a U-turn, and just takes off. Like, I'm saying, like, 0 to 60. Like, just gone. And I was like, what's happening? And so I was like, well, I guess I have to contact Postmates and say I didn't get my order, and can I have a refund? And so I go onto the app and I do that whole thing. They give the refund and I tip him zero, which I would never do normally. But I'm like, this man aggressively drove away. So I was like, I think I have to tip him zero. And about like 10 or 15 minutes passed and we said, you know what? If he picked up the wrong order, maybe our order is still there and we can put on masks and everything and go and pick it up. So I call the local Blaze and they're like, he actually just came back and he's got your food and he's bringing it back to you. And I was like, but now I've tipped him zero and I can't change it on the Postmates app. So I'm like, oh, now what do we do? But also, like, dude never said I'll go back and get your order.
A little bit of communication could have gone a long way in this whole situation.
Long story short, he never came back. I think he saw on the app I tipped him zero and he just took off with our cauliflower crust pizzas, which I hope his, you know, his insides appreciated.
I was about to say, he definitely ate your food.
And then at this point, it was so late that the pizza place had closed. We couldn't get a replacement. And I ate some of the pizza that they had accidentally delivered, which had wheat in it. And I have been paying the price ever since.
Let me go ahead and give you a quick hot tip. Buy a bidet. And I'm not joking. I'll send you a link to one that's like $70 and it's fantastic.
Yes, absolutely.
You gotta treat her with kindness down there.
It's real. The struggle is real. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's my grudge. The Postmates driver who apparently just didn't want to communicate. And for anybody wondering, he had talked to us prior. We had had a back and forth conversation. There was no sort of like, you know, barrier there. He was able to communicate prior. In that moment, he just chose to not tell us that he's going to go get our food and drive off aggressively. I found it like unnerving, like someone driving that fast, like on a residential street. It was aggressive.
Kids live in this neighborhood, bro. Yeah. Like Karen does with her sign in the yard.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much.
Drive like your kids live here.
Exactly. This is not a freeway.
I have to say, we really are just soulmates. And I was going to say that anyways, because I want it to be true so badly, but I too picked my grudge to be food related.
Stop.
Because those really stick out to me. So I went to Sonic the other day, it was the beginning of all of this. Is the world going to shut down? Our trip's going to cancel. We were definitely practicing social distancing. So I went to Sonic to get some food, me and my quarantine partner, my best friend, McKenna. And we pull up and I very much based my order on the fact that I was going to get a very small order of chili cheese tots. Oh, and so I got everything else small or just one of it so that I could, you know, enjoy that as well. They get three parts of our order wrong. I have to send the girl back and then we like look in the bag and we're like, okay, well, you didn't do this. So then she comes up and I'm feeling like bad about it to make her go back and forth. I'm like, I'm really sorry, but you guys actually didn't put any ice in our drink and Texas and your Sonic. So I just feel like we should have ice. I don't know. And I'm being like so polite about it. And then finally I look in the bag at the very bottom and my tots aren't there. So I asked the girl and she was like, oh, sorry, we must have not heard you. And I was like, okay, well, by now all of our food is pretty much cold because we've been waiting for 15 minutes. People have come up and left in the time that we've been waiting for like one part of our order to be fixed. Finally, they bring the tots out and they wanted to tell me that it was $2.87. And I laughed like that, that they thought I was going to pay that, which I could have at the time afforded. Now it's like, wow, that's a lot. but weeks ago, that was totally in my budget. But it was just like the principle to me that like you messed up my order. And then so many times, and you want me to pay for your mistake because you didn't put it in originally. And there were, and then they told me that there are now three people out here and I'm out of my car. So we're social distance, but I'm like out of my car waiting for them to come back around. And they're telling me that it's my fault because I didn't see it on the screen, that it was wrong. And I really did call the poor manager of this Sonic, something pretty terrible, and drove away exactly like your Postmates driver did without my tater tots. Because I refused to pay the $2 to even get them, even though they prepared them for me and were bringing them to me to have. And I literally lay in bed and think about how mad that made me that night. That night that happened, it was a month ago. Every single day since then, I have thought about it and it hurts me. And I won't forgive them. And I want to go back when this is all over and order one of everything on the menu and then leave. I've literally planned it. I'm not going to pay for it. I'm going to order one of everything, maybe two of a couple things to throw them off, and then just straight up not pay and leave. Does that make me a bad person?
No, I think it makes you an honest person and a person who is you're a hard marker, and so am I. It's somebody who it's like, you know what? There's a level to which I expect businesses to work and customer service to exist, and they violated that level. And yeah. Again, I agree with you. Listen, I'm somebody also who, like, I have yelled at people because my house number is very close to a house number down the street. And I literally will yell, read. I'm like, read. Yeah. Like,
you
again,
have one job.
Exactly. So again, to your point, I agree with you that it's infuriating if it's like, you made multiple mistakes. I've been nice to you about it. Now you're trying to charge me for your mistake? No.
It ruined my day. And I yelled and screamed about it on the drive home the entire time. And I'm with my like my best friend. And I was embarrassed that she like saw that side of me. She was sitting there like, dude, it's fucking tater tots. You will be okay. And I'm like, I will recover. Like it was a version of myself I'm not proud of, but I don't regret it.
I love it. And I think that is a completely valid grudge to have. I would have the same thing. Cause I'm also the kind of person who, if something happens like that to me, like this guy the other night, if something like that happens, it doesn't just go away for me. Like it does, no. It sits. Yeah.
And I can feel it physically in my, like I will tremble in just anger, in rage. And I'm like, this can't, like how, I didn't know I was so passionate about chili cheese tots, but I'm learning more about myself every day. You know, apparently that's up there and I needed to honor that level of passion I have for chili cheese tots.
And listen, we're all on a journey to self-awareness, and I think that you're there. I mean, again, you have the self-awareness, and now you've also learned something new. So I think ultimately this is great.
Yeah. I'm for sure never going to let anyone that knows me listen to this.
Oh,
just kidding.
God.
I'm going to brag about it to everyone. I don't care what I say. I'm talking to you, and that is just worthy of so much attention in my mind.
Oh, you're so sweet. I mean, you're hilarious. This has been amazing. This is like, this has been such a light of sunshine. Again, I can't tell you, I'm losing words. I don't know if this is happening to you in quarantine, but like I am losing words
this much of my life. I would say I'm an excellent communicator usually.
Yes.
And I just fumble through sentences all throughout the day.
Yeah.
And it's pretty terrifying that the only thing still paying my bills is my ability to talk. And I'm just watching it like go down the drain every second. I'm like, there goes another word. There goes a couple more brain cells.
There's words that are like easy. And I'm like grasping and grasping and grasping. Like earlier, I think I said invalid instead of invalid. Like, that's not me.
I've made a few mistakes myself already. But, you know, it makes us relatable. And people love that. Other people struggle with their words. Other people poop their pants.
Yes. Damn it.
And we're the pillars in the community.
And these fully nude private investigators / partially nude therapists are here to spread the good word, period.
And some of the wrong word, because we get it wrong often.
I love you so much. Please tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
I am at Elena Davies on everything. It's ELENADAVIES. All the links and things you need to find my podcast or anything else are in my Instagram bio. So I would say go there, hang out with me. I try to have so much fun on Instagram, especially these days. I talk about Superstore a lot. So yeah, we're just having a good time. We obsess over Dina quite a bit on all of my platforms. So I invite everyone to join me in that journey.
Well, listen, I appreciate that. I thank you for that. But also, this has been honestly such a joy. I think you are just so fun and funny. And I think that we really are kindred spirits. So I am saying now I genuinely want to see this friendship continue.
I have not had my phone on loud since 2005, but I promise you I am cutting that down and making it my ringtone. And that bitch is going to be volume up for the rest of my life. And I am going to pay humans to call me in public places so that everyone knows that Lauren Elizabeth Ash thinks I'm funny and she wants to be my friend.
It's true.
And I feel like that's a reasonable thing to do.
Yes, absolutely.
I really do have to say that Superstore and you specifically got me through a couple of the worst times in my life. And every time I have a bad day or a bad night or my ex-boyfriend dumps me again, Superstore is where I go. I've watched every episode probably 50 times.
Oh.
And now that there's new ones coming out still, I feel bad for the new ones because they haven't gotten as much attention from me. So I'll watch it. And then like the next time I sit down, I'll watch it again. And I just watch that one episode over and over again until I'm like, all right. You can fit in with the rest of the guys.
Get in the back seat. Thank you. That's so meaningful to me. I appreciate that. You know, obviously that's why we do what we do as performers, because we hope that we bring light and joy to people's lives. So thank you. I appreciate you sharing that. And thank you so much for doing this episode of Giving It Up for Less.
Truly, any time.
All right. Well, listen. I'm coming for you. I'm coming on your podcast next. We're going to make it happen. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I hope you had as great a time as we did. As always, email dumbliesweTell@gmail.com if you have a dumb lie. Maybe I'll read it. Maybe I won't. But you don't know if you don't play. Hope everyone's staying safe. See you next week. Okay, bye.